Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, in the Gospel of Matthew, to begin with, Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Verses 13 through 18, Matthew chapter 2. Then looking in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Father, thank you, Lord, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Thank you for being Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Thank you, Lord, for being our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Thank you for your sovereignty over all the earth. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you're sovereign over every life that is born in this world. Father, you've called us as a church. You've called us as your people to choose life, that we and our descendants may live. Father, open our eyes and our hearts and our understanding to the fact that every child born into this world belongs to you. Each child is precious, and you have a plan and a destiny for every child. Help us as the church to rise up and strongly and boldly stand for truth and right, and help us to recognize, Lord, that you've called us to stand for life and stand against the tragedy of abortion and help to end the tragedy of abortion in our world. Help us to understand the seriousness of this issue. And Lord, help us to see the sad reality of how that so many people take so lightly the fact that children are being destroyed every day in the womb in so many places. Help us as your church to rise up and be the church you want us to be, that is proclaiming to stand for life and to stand against abortion that you want us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we lift high your name. We exalt you today. We come to adore you, and we want to adore you more and more, Father. We're thankful for your dear Holy Spirit that lives within us, that guides us, that rebukes us, that keeps us on the right track. Father, you're so kind to us. We thank you for your precious Son, Jesus, and his terrible death on the cross for us. We pray for our listening family today with all the many needs out there. God, you have great big shoulders, and they can put all their burdens on your shoulder. And Father, we have great confidence that you are enough for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. An ongoing reminder to you, AFA at the Core is a brand new show here on American Family Radio. The new show focuses on the values that have helped to frame the founding of the ministry of the American Family Association from its inception. Truths and insights concerning evangelism, discipleship, marriage and the family, morality, sanctity of human life, stewardship, and religious liberty. Walker Wildman, AFA's Vice President of Operations and Public Policy Analyst, will host the new show. Walker will provide the tools, help to provide the tools you need to be a transformative voice in our culture. Again, AFA at the Core will highlight the issues of the day. Again, AFA at the Core can be heard weekdays at 105 Central on American Family Radio, and podcasts are available at AFR.net as well. And also, keep in mind, we now encourage you to visit the AFA Resource Center. Used to be the AFA store online, but it's now called the AFA Resource Center. And you'll find online features and exclusive products to help equip you to be a faithful disciple and warrior in our culture and in the kingdom of God today. Stop by and pick up some of the great resources and join thousands of others in helping to transform our nation and our world. Visit the AFA Resource Center. Go to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. And would like to mention, too, a book that I had the privilege of writing that's found in the AFA Resource Center is entitled A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. And we'll be discussing this book as a part of our topic for today as well. But we encourage you to go to the AFA bookstore. Again, go to AFA, go to resources.afa.net, and you'll be able to find this and many other resources there as well. A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. We're honored to have, once again, blessed to have as our co-host today, Jade Holifield. Jade, how are you today?
I'm blessed. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you. Yes, now, for folks that aren't recognizing the name Jade, that's Victory Holifield as well. So she's one of the
same. I go by both, you know.
That's right. But always good to have you today.
Thank you.
As we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll tell our listeners. Some people may remember who Jade is, but they may or may not. Then tell them what you do here at the American Family Association.
Man, a lot. I'm so thankful for working here at the ministry. So I am Will and Mickey Addison's assistant. I'm the assistant to the directors of special initiatives. And what we do various projects pretty much to help married couples to focus on Christ and to look towards Christ and fighting for their marriage. So we do the date night events. We also help spear off the Marriage Family Life Conference. Mm-hmm. And we've got another event that we're going to be starting later in the future, which I'm not going to bring up right now because that's later in the future. Mm-hmm. But right now, so definitely go to marriagefamilylife.net. We actually have a date night coming up in August, as well as September and November. But right now, August, where the registration is open. If you're in the Hattiesburg, Mississippi area, we will love to have you. Will and Mickey Addison will be your speakers, and I'll be there as well, coordinating everything. So yeah, that's in Hattiesburg this August, but that's what we do. Date night events.
All right.
Marriage Family Life.
And also, you're from time to time a co-host.
I am a co-host with
us here on the Hour of Intercession. So always good to have you too. And I would mention, of course, the Marriage and Family Life Conference was a tremendous event. The Lord greatly blessed, and we praise God for His goodness and how He did bless that event.
He did
this past June.
He showed up and showed out. He always does.
God is good. Amen. Well, again, I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you, Jade,
and today we're focusing on the topic, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. And of course, that is at least a part of the title of the book that I referred to. The book's full title is A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. But also, we're going to be talking about an exciting project I'm grateful to be a part of.
Yeah.
I happen to be the chairperson for the board of the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center. It's a ministry that will be that will sponsor a mobile pregnancy medical unit that will be serving in the southern portion of the Mississippi Delta.
Come on.
And right now we're in the process of raising funds through a GoFundMe project, raising funds to purchase the mobile unit as well as the first year's budget as well. And I want to say to listeners, if you're interested in joining us both in prayer and giving financially to help us with this project, just email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And we'll send you a direct link where you can donate online. Yeah. But again, for every single listener, we're encouraging you to pray much for the Lord to bless this work, this ministry project, and for Him to really set it on fire of His Holy Spirit. And so,
can I just add to?
Yes.
Listeners, you'll be sowing in good ground.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I'm not just saying that because Pastor Parker is one of my, you're like another father figure for me. But you'll be sowing in good ground.
Amen.
Like, it's going to be put to good use for the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. And you know, Jada, part of what we're wanting to do today is really challenge every believer to really seek the Lord's heart to find out what He would have each of us to do to help stand for life and against abortion.
Right.
Sadly, we live in a culture where obviously we have some people that aggressively push the tragedy of abortion. Abortion murders innocent babies. Mm-hmm. And the sad reality is, since 1973, we've as a nation have killed more than 60 million plus babies in the womb legally. And that's tragic because for a nation that says that we stand on the Word of God and stand for the Word of God, that's a tragedy any way you look at it.
Yeah.
But, of course, sadly, the world will act like the world. But the issue is, what has the church been doing?
Come on, Pastor Parker.
And there are many, many believers, leaders in the church and others who say little to nothing about this.
Right.
And it's important for us to understand that God calls us to boldly stand on the truth.
Yes, sir.
And to stand for His Word. So it's important. So as we begin, before we move forward in that topic further, Jade, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for God to help listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord would say to them today.
Yes. Father, I'm just so thankful for this opportunity, Lord, that you've given Pastor Parker, myself, Rick, American Family Association, Hour of Intercession program, Lord, an opportunity to bring forth the gospel, to bring forth what your word says about the lives of these children, about the lives of babies, which are humans. Father, I ask for every listener that's tuning in, Lord, that you would just stir up such an unction in them, Lord, to stand boldly for Christ first and foremost, and to stand boldly for babies. Father, I ask that you would stir such a desire within them, Lord, that they would have no choice but to want to share with others about standing up for pro-life, for this movement, Lord. Father, I just ask, Lord, that for people who have struggled with the temptation to look towards an abortion, to have an abortion, Father, I ask that you remove those thoughts by the power of your Spirit. Father, even if they don't know you, Lord, you can still remove the thoughts of thinking that getting rid of a human life would ease their pain or to make their life easier. Father, I ask that you will help us all, Lord, to stop being selfish and to have a heart to live for you, to have a heart to live in a way that gives you honor, brings you honor, Lord, and give us a desire, Lord, to save these babies and help grow them up in the admiration of your word, Father. It didn't stop at the womb. That's just the beginning. Help us to continue to fight for the life of children, Lord. And I just thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to bring forth what your word says, Lord. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jade. You know, a scripture, a very important foundational scripture to look at is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. They tell us, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him, for He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, a powerful foundational scripture to help us jump off as we look at this topic. Today we're looking at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. And my co-host is Jade Holifield. We'll be right back.
Every day I face a million different ways I gotta trust, but there's only one decision I
to live, how to love, Jesus, because you are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise, won't you lead me in my choices, my choices. I believe that faith is nothing if it isn't everything. Every heartbeat, every moment, whatever this day brings, this song I will sing. You are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise, won't you lead me in my choices, my choices.
Music of J.J. Weeks with Choices. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. And my co-host today is Victory / Jade Hollifield.
I know. It's my fault. I keep changing it up on you guys.
Jade and Victory are all in the same.
So, I promise. I'm not schizophrenic, though. I'm one person.
But we're glad to have you today. And as we begin this segment, I'm going to ask our producer, Rick. He's going to share a word of prayer with us once again.
Father, we are thankful for this broadcast and thankful for the message that's going out today. We pray for our dear listening family that you would give them clarity of mind spiritually, that they would have your ears to hear what you have to say to them today. Father, that they would listen past Jade and listen past Joseph and listen straight from you. What would you say to them today? And, Father, we pray that then you would give them courage to respond to it in a way that brings you much honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. At this time, we're going to I read a couple passages, one from Matthew chapter 2 earlier and Exodus chapter 1. We're going to go over those same passages again. And I want you to listen afresh as you see some very powerful insights here. We see that in both instances, we see where the government is killing babies. Mm. The government is enforcing the killing of babies. And it's sad to see that the leaders, it's just, they're surprised. They seem to be surprised at the idea that we almost like they're surprised that anybody would have a problem with it and what a tragedy it is. But looking once again in Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 13, it says, "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more.'" So here, Jade, in this passage, we see that sadly, Herod, the wicked king of that time, was so much trying. He literally was trying to abort Christ. Yeah. He was trying to get rid of Jesus, trying to get him out of the picture. And in an attempt to try to get him, had all the boys in that region, 2 years and younger, destroyed. And what a tragedy that wicked leadership would promote the killing of the most innocent of human beings, children in the womb. Children can't run anywhere, can't cry out, can't protest for themselves. And it's sad to think a government would do that. And you might think, well, some might say, well, That was way ancient, ain't the ancient world, but we know better today. Sadly, that's not true.
Right.
Sadly, we have a government in place now that promotes the killing of babies today as well.
And the thing that gets me the most is they promote the killing of human beings. Babies are human beings. Mm-hmm. But yet they promote things dealing with animals. And even people in the church, some people, to me, it's a little extreme. No offense to anybody who have an animal. Like, there's nothing wrong with having an animal, but when you treat them like they're a human and like they're a baby, you've crossed the line.
You can go to jail real quick by killing certain animals.
An animal!
And even destroying the eggs of those animals.
Oh,
as
my
well.
God.
So,
that annoys the biggest thing. Oh, that annoys me so bad. But yet, a human being, a baby, which is a human being, so what's happening in today's society, people are diminishing the value of life.
That's right.
That's what's happening. They're diminishing the value of life and esteeming the value of other things that animal. I don't even know. Does it have a soul? I don't know if animals go to heaven. I don't know. I know Jesus, when he returns, is coming back on a horse. So maybe, I don't know. But I do know God esteems a human being, a baby, far more than these animals.
People are made in the image of God and have an inestimable worth, each human being. And so it's important that we recognize and see that as an important reality for us to note and understand as well. So,
can I bring up another thing that points out to me?
Yes.
It was very interesting to me. This passage, as well as when you were reading in Exodus, the enemy has always been after the men. So it was the male boys. Now, he's always been after the babies, specifically something about males. And I truly believe it's because God called men to be the head of the household. Mm-hmm. He called them to lead, to be on the forefront of things. So here we are. We've got them killing babies, especially our male babies. And before the feminists who may be listening, because I know that there are Christians, women who claim to be feminists, before you say, we don't need them, we can do it anyway, that is a sinful way of thinking, because God called men to lead. If you love God, you should love his word and what his word says. No, it is a beautiful thing for men to lead. That was just something else that pointed out to me. Like, they specifically wanted to kill the male babies.
That's right. And as we look at the other passage again, they're going after the male children in this case as well. And it's important for us to know that God's word helps us to understand things from a right perspective, a correct perspective.
That's good.
It's wrong to kill children, boys, girls, anyone, of course.
Right.
In Exodus chapter 1, once again, the passage verse begins at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra and the name of the other Pua. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. So it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22. And again, this passage has so much insight for us as the church to learn from. Number one, we see two individuals we never hear mentioned of anywhere else in Scripture, Shipra and Pua, two little midwives, but they stand towering figures as role models for us. They courageously stood up against the order of the mighty Pharaoh, who would be considered probably the most powerful king on the earth at that day, in that day and time. He told them, kill the baby boys. But notice what it says very specifically in verse 17. But the midwives feared God.
Come on.
And what does that mean? That means I value what God says above what people say.
Yes.
And so thank God that they did that.
Lord.
And even when Pharaoh realizes the baby boys aren't dying, and he calls them in, confronts them, and notice his question, Jade. Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive, acting as if it's strange to not want to do what Pharaoh says, even when it's wicked? But by the grace of God, God gave Shipra and Pua the wisdom and the courage to know how to respond in such a way where they still outdid Pharaoh. Their response specifically is, They said, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. And what does Pharaoh know about birth and children? Probably nothing on top of nothing. So they outwit, outsmart the mighty Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And so notice how it clearly points out God blesses them for that because they stood up for what was right. It specifically says, and so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them in verse 21. And so God specifically blessed them, and apparently they were single women when they first started this, when they were doing this work at the beginning of the story. And by the end, God gives them husbands and children of their own. Why? Because they sought first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. They sought to do God's will instead of men's will as well.
Something you said earlier, I wrote it down. God's word helps us think rightly. Mm-hmm. They feared God, and the way we can grow in fearing God and what his word says, so we can have the righteous way of thinking of children, these human beings. I want to keep emphasizing that, because you know the culture tries to make it seem like, oh, it's just a fetus, which is Latin for baby people. Mm-hmm. But the way we can grow in fearing God is reading God's word, and he helps us to have the right way of thinking. That way, when someone, I remember the Addisons used to always say on air, and the Addisons, Mickey and Will used to talk about when people would hear how many children they have, which now is six, mm-hmm. but back when they had, you know, four and then five, mm-hmm. people give them looks and may, oh, almost like, better you than me. We got to change our thinking, people.
That's
we
got to
change our thinking, seeing children as a blessing and not a burden. See, mm-hmm. we live in a world where it's all about this self-love, which is nowhere in the Bible, all about this pursuing your dreams, which is nowhere in the Bible. In the Bible, it says to pursue God's will for your life. It's about what he desires. When we do that, it'll help us stop seeing these little humans as problems, as mm-hmm. an inconvenience. I actually recently wrote a blog. It's on The Stand, y'all. Y'all should check it out. And it's on blended family rely on faith. And one thing I talked about was how when I first got married to my honey, my stepdaughter, she's 13 now, but at the time she was 9, like I saw her as an inconvenience. Sadly, I came into the marriage, no kid, yada, yada. But the Lord had to help me to see how he views children of all ages, from baby to whatever age, to adulthood. So we got to have a righteous way of thinking of things. And when we fear God, he will show us that children are a blessing. So when we see a family with 10 kids, we won't say, oh, my goodness, better than me. We'll say, oh, glory to God, and they Christians. Hallelujah.
That's right.
That's the way we'll see it.
Psalm 127 refers to children as a reward. And that's God's perspective. So God calls them rewards. He doesn't call them accidents. He doesn't call them inconvenience. He calls them rewards. So God's word is truth, very much so.
Amen. Amen.
And so as we look at the story of Shipra and Pua, it should challenge every single believer listening. Because like as just two young women who probably obscure from our perspective, yet they stood up for what was right. They stood for truth. And to this day, the testimony of what they did is echoing throughout the world when people read the word of God, because they stood up for what was right. Mm-hmm. The world needs many more Shipras and Puas, people that will courageously stand up for truth and what's right. And to every believer listening, I would challenge you to understand this. God wants you to be involved in the fight of standing for life and against abortion as well. You might say, well, what can I do? I'm just one individual. Well, what if Shipra and Pua had said there's nothing I could do?
They stood up
and did what they could. Well, what can you and I do? Well, let's talk briefly about some of the things we all can do.
Amen.
For example, find out where your local pregnancy clinic is located and pray daily for the Spirit of God and the grace of God to be at work mightily there, because many times women who are abortion-minded go by there, sometimes on their way to an abortion clinic. And pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to them and encourage them to choose life for their babies and let their babies live. Pray that God would move upon many of them to prayerfully consider adoption rather than abortion as well. Adoption is a wonderful option. Also, give financially to the work of pregnancy clinics. And also, you can volunteer, donate baby items. All of these are things that all of us can do. Also, pray for God's grace to be at work mightily around every both pregnancy clinic and at every abortion clinic as well. You know, Jade, a lot of people don't realize how many women go into abortion clinics and change their minds and come back out. Huge numbers do that. You might say, well, why does that happen? People somewhere are praying.
Come on.
They're praying that the Spirit of God would touch them, and lots of people have changed their minds in the abortion clinics because the Spirit of God touched them there.
Yes. And you know, when you say the two midwives' names way better than I do, but where the scripture says how they feared God, what comes to my mind, you remember when David was about to fight Goliath and he had the host, God's and his host behind him? Mm-hmm. I truly, truly believe when you fear God, you're not by yourself standing on what concerning pro-life. You got, right. First off, if you're a believer, you got the greater one, which is the Holy Ghost living within you. You mm-hmm. got the Father, the Son, and you got his angels. Like, so we are not fighting this by ourselves. This is a spiritual war. Warfare is what I'm saying. You may not see them around you, but they're there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers in dark places. That is the word of God.
Amen. Oh, amen. So important. So important.
We're almost coming to a break, so that's why I got
it. Spiritual warfare is something we deal with absolutely every day.
Everything is spiritual.
And the reality is that if you could see into the spirit realm around every pregnancy clinic, outside of it, and around every abortion clinic, you'd see angels and demons battling all
day
long.
Come on.
And who wins directly connected to how much the people of God are praying. Our prayers make all the difference in the world. And so never underestimate how important it is for you to pray for the Spirit of God to be at work mightily at every pregnancy clinic and to be at work mightily at every abortion clinic as well.
Right.
You're listening to the Hour of Intercessions. We're today looking at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. We'll be right back. Planet Shakers with Heaven on Earth. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. My co-host today is Jade Holifield, and we're looking at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. Jade, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for the church to really boldly get so much more involved in the life issue according to the heart of God, that which he's calling us to. Would you pray for that?
I would love to. Father God, I'm so thankful. I'm just so thankful, Lord, for those who are listening and that are part of the body of Christ, who are members and children of yours. Father, I just ask that you will remind us all, including myself, our new position in Christ, which gives us authority because of the name of Jesus, that we can pray that because Christ, you're interceding on our behalf. So, Father, I just ask right now, Lord, that you would move on the hearts of individuals who have yet to come to you, who are contemplating to get rid of a child that is forming in their womb. Lord, I ask that you would change their minds. Lord, I ask that you would raise up, Father, believers within churches, God, who would stand boldly for truth, stand boldly for the lives of children, Lord, that they would stand boldly in their new position in Christ, that they would see that them praying is a huge part of standing for the pro-life, Father. Help them not to see, oh, that's all I'm doing. I'm just praying. Help them to see, man, much is made available when we pray. Those who pray, Lord, Father, I ask, Lord, that you will reveal to them and myself, Lord, that when we pray, Lord, that we can boldly come to the throne of grace because of what Christ did and pray on behalf of these unborn children, Father. And Lord, I just ask that you will raise up pastors, Lord, to have a heart for this, Lord, to have a heart for what you have a heart for, which are these unborn children. Father, I ask that you would bring the body of Christ, members of the church, Lord, back to your word, and that we will get rid of this whole popularity and trying to be appealing to the crowds and to children. Lord, your word is already powerful enough. You need nothing for us to add to make it appealing. Your word is active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Father, I just ask, Lord, lastly, I just ask, Father, please, Lord, bring such a stirring in the hearts of believers, those within the body of Christ here in America and across the globe, to stand boldly for life from the beginning of conception all the way up until adulthood and to the elderly years, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see the blessing of children, and that every time a believer especially has a child, Lord, that's an opportunity to bring another member within the body of Christ. Father, help us to see it as we are adding to your church, to your kingdom family, and that is a blessing. Father, I thank you for what you're doing, and that what you are stirring in the hearts of those who are tuning into the program right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you for every listener. Thank you for the body of Christ as a whole. And Father, more and more we'd ask that you'd pour out your spirit mightily upon our land, upon the church in particular, Lord. Lord, more and more remove the political blinders on so many people's eyes and help them to see from the standpoint of your word and your spirit that you told us to choose life, that we and our children might live. Help us to recognize that we're to see through the lens of your word first and foremost with everything we look at. Yes. Stir us to be a people that are doing that. And Lord, touch every single listener to seek to pray and ask the question, Lord, what do you want me to do to stand up for life? Help us to remember, Lord, that one day we all will stand before you. And when you ask us the question, what did you do for my babies? Help us to be able to say, Lord, that I did what you called me to do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're looking today at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. And once again, we're inviting you to prayerfully consider helping us with this project of the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center. It's a mobile unit that we're in the process of raising funds for to purchase. It will serve as a mobile pregnancy center that will serve in the LaFleur County and Washington County communities in the southern part of the Mississippi Delta. If you'd like information about more information about this, or if you want to know how to give with the GoFundMe project that's underway to help fund this, email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And we'll send you a direct link where you can donate to the GoFundMe if you wish to, or just more information about how to pray for this project. We hope that you will. Just briefly, you know, I would mention that along with my wife, Berta, we've pastored in the Mississippi Delta for a number of years and saw a need for another pregnancy clinic ministry. But there's a particular area of the Delta where there are no pregnancy clinics whatsoever. Well, after having discussions with people about the need and the possibility, nothing was happening in terms of someone saying, well, we're going to start a new ministry in the areas where they're needed. And at a certain point, I heard the Lord say, you do it. Well, I wasn't looking to hear that, but once I got clarity, that's what he wanted us to do. We embarked upon this journey and didn't get moving forward as quick as I would have thought, but we're where we are now. We are a 501c3. And we have a wonderful board of people who have a heart for this issue. And we're raising the money for the mobile unit and the first year's budget. So, again, email me at jparker@afa.net, and I'll send you a direct link where you can donate, and or I'll send you information more about this project. Jade, at this point, I'm going to take a moment to share an article I wrote that's on the AFA stand. It's entitled, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. In the tragic abortion debate today, with people who say they love the Lord on both sides of the issue, who is right? In fact, a bigger question is, who decides what is right or wrong? Who decides whether something is good or bad? Who decides what pleases the Lord and what does not please Him? The simple answer is, God does. God tells us His perspective and thoughts. He tells us what is right and what is wrong in His Word. In the present cultural landscape, we can actually determine who is right and who is wrong. We can see who is on the Lord's side and who is not. We do need to be mindful that this is the issue. It's not a matter of who is going. It's not a matter or a question of who is God siding with. God doesn't take sides. He gives us His word, and if we line up with His word, we end up on the right side. If we ignore disregard, or oppose the Word of God, we're on the wrong side of any issue. So now, let's look at what the Word of God has to say about the abortion issue. Of course, abortion is the act of deliberately killing an innocent baby in the womb. It's the taking of an innocent and helpless human life. Here are some passages from the Word of God that give us God's counsel and His will concerning life, abortion, and the taking of innocent life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20 tell us, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him, for He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them." Then in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, it tells us, "You shall not murder." Then Proverbs 24, verse 12 says, "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, 'Behold, we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over you, keeps watch over your soul, know it? And will he not repay man according to his work?" Again, Proverbs 24, 12. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. "Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the poor and needy." Then in Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, it tells us, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given one of his children to Molech, to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all close their eyes to that man when he gives one of his children to Molech and do not put him to death, then I will set my face against that man and against his clan and will cut them off from among their people, him and all who follow him, in whoring after Molech." Again, Leviticus 21 through 5. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, "You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abominable thing that the Lord hates they have done for their gods. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods." Ezekiel 16, 20 and 21, "And you took your sons and daughters whom you had borne to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your whoring so small a matter that you slaughtered my children, and deliver them up as offering by fire to them?" Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. "They sacrificed their sons and daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood." And then one additional scripture, and specifically tells us in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 35, "They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it ever enter my mind that they would do this abomination to cause Judah to sin." Then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In Exodus chapters 1, verses 15 through 22, and Matthew 2, 16 through 18, God's word tells us of two governmental leaders, two kings, who for sad, cruel, and selfish reasons gave orders to slaughter innocent little boys. By their power and authority, their orders were carried out. Tragically, we still have governmental leaders who continue to approve of killing innocent babies in the womb. This is not an exhaustive listing of the scriptures that speak to the life issue, standing up for life and standing against abortion. These are just a few of the scriptures, but they're enough to help you see what God's word clearly thinks and says about the issue of life. What should be our response to God's word in view of what he says about these issues? A correct response on the part of believers in the church is that we get passionately involved in aggressively standing for life. We all find out our part to carry out. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, three people of quote-unquote faith found a man in great trouble and distress. Two of the three passed by on the other side of the road after seeing the injured man. Sadly, they did nothing to help. Yet when a Samaritan saw the man, he had compassion on him. The Samaritan went to great lengths to help the injured man. He used his time, energy, and money to assist the person in need. The Lord Jesus, after sharing the parable, gave a command, "Go and do likewise." Babies in the womb have too often been the man on the side of the road. The world has beaten them up, robbed them, and took their lives. May the church, the body of Christ, stand up today like the Samaritan. May we not pass by on the other side anymore. May we stop supporting people who say they are believers, yet support the killing of innocent babies. Let's rise up and faithfully stand for life and help end the tragedy of abortion in our culture and our world. Our time is just about gone, but before we end our time, as usual, if there's someone listening, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you sense a need for having gone down a wrong road, made wrong decisions, and a need for the forgiveness of Jesus, I invite you to pray this prayer of salvation with me, to commit to give your life to the Lord or recommit your heart to the Lord as well. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. I repent and turn from that wrong. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we invite you to email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to send you some literature that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, if you'd like to get involved with supporting the work of the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center and help us to raise the monies for the mobile unit and to carry out the work of that pregnancy ministry as well, simply email me, same email, jparker@afa.net. We'll send you a direct link where you can donate, as well as we invite you to pray with us for this project. Jade, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right, and thank you for being a part of our listening family. Pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to do to help stand for life and end the tragedy of abortion. Hope you'll get involved. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.